I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I've been so looking forward to this whole week of programming because on our show every day, Monday through Friday this week, we're focusing on breakthrough in different aspects of breakthrough. We're praying for many breakthroughs in your life and believing this is going to be just one of those game-changing moments for you in your journey. In fact, if you missed yesterday's show, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen. It will bless your socks off. It was so powerful. Talking about really coming to a place where you really continually anticipate the goodness of God, how good that is for your heart and how true it is of who God is. You got to go back and listen to it today. Today, we're going to talk about breakthrough from a physiological perspective and even how our emotions impact our physiology. One of my favorite people on the planet joins me today, Dr. Jill Carnahan. And so I want to start out asking friends to text in. If there was one area in your health, in your body that could be healed, what would it be? Where do you need healing the most? Will you text me 877-933-2484? What area in your body do you most need healing? 877-933-2484. And I want you to know too that Dr. Jill isn't here to diagnose you over the airways. It just is, asking too much from her. So this is really general information to allow you to realize that there are so many things that we can do to move our health forward. Sometimes it's the smallest tweak in the world that will make all the difference. We'll talk about supplements and mindsets and all kinds of things that just help contribute. And I always say every step towards healing matters, right? So we got a few copies of my book, Fully Alive, Learning to Flourish, Mind, Body, and Spirit, and the companion DVD. So three like bundles we'll give away. These are a $45 gift, and I'm praying that the right people get them at the right time. I love how the DVD turned out. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Jill Carnahan is board certified in both family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. She owns her own practice, Flatiron Functional Medicine in Louisville, Colorado. She lectures all over the world. This isn't in her bio, but I'll just tell you. She just filmed a documentary of her life, absolutely amazing, and is just finishing up a book that I cannot wait till it hits the shelves. Dr. Jill, so great to have you with us today.
Oh, Suzy, it is my pleasure as always. I'm glad to be here.
I know you are so wildly busy, and that you would give time to our listeners just means the world to me. I can't even express to you how grateful I am. And we're especially focusing on breakthrough this week, so I'm looking forward to really getting into that. But you know how we always love to start the conversation. Just what is God speaking to you about these days?
Yeah, he reminded me today, and it's so relevant to breakthroughs, from Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it just almost chokes me up to read it, because when we think in our smallness of our minds, sometimes we miss the breakthroughs, right? And when we see them, it's like that the idea that God's ways and his capability of healing and showing up in our life is so much bigger and greater than we can even dream or imagine. And I just love when he reminds me of that, because when I look bigger and when I think bigger, that's when I see breakthroughs in my life.
So good. Well, I'd love to, you know, you've told your story on the show before, and that one day when we devoted, I think, most of the show to your story, people were blown away. I mean, people who look you up now may see you as just sort of at the top of your game, but you have walked through the valley. It's not been without such major suffering. So looking back over your story, talk about just maybe some significant trajectory changes, you know, where there was just moments of breakthrough for you that you'll just always remember.
Oh, thank you for asking, Suzy, because I love to share what God's done. And I might just briefly go through. I promise I won't take a long time, but because there's a little tiny pearls in every little section. So when I was 25, I was diagnosed with a very aggressive breast cancer, and it was life-threatening. In fact, I've said before, I was in a young women's support group under 40, and I'm the only one still living. So it's just a testimony to God's grace and miracles in my life. And there was many, many breakthroughs in that journey. But one that particularly I think of was the type of radiation I got was very new. And it was kind of a study. It was called brachytherapy. So I ended up having radiation to my breast after the surgery. But it was not, it had no damage to my heart or lungs, which is typical with the beam radiation. But that was just a contact that God put in my life at that time. And I was part of a study that was incredibly like one of a kind. And so I was able to really save my heart and lungs from damage just by having, you know, God show up and show me an alternative. That was breast cancer. And then 6 months after I got through all the chemotherapy, was bald, had no hair left and very sick from chemo, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And that, for any of you who don't know, is an autoimmune disease where the body attacks the gut lining. Can be also life-threatening, usually lifelong, very severe. I was having fevers and weight loss and pain. And in that journey, I was searching for answers and I asked my gastroenterologist, you know, does diet have anything to do with this? And he flat out said no. But when, once again, the breakthrough for me was I kept looking and found a type of diet that I changed called the specific carbohydrate diet. And I really credit that to the beginning of my healing. And now almost 20 years later, as I'm completely healed from what they consider to be incurable for Crohn's and cancer. So those were amazing breakthroughs. Mm. And I went on to live thriving, happy life until I got to Boulder and had a massive mold exposure, which we've also talked about on here in my office, and got really, really sick with mold-related illness. And I know some of your listeners have talked about this, and you can relate if you're listening out there or heard people who've had this. It was a mystery. It's hard to know that mold's causing it, but I ended up finding out that was the issue. And the beautiful thing was I always say I never chose mold. Mold chose me. And now through that experience, I've learned so much. And I literally speak all over teaching people about how to heal from mold, because I had to understand it and go through it myself. And God used that suffering and difficulty to really give me a whole different platform on which to teach and help patients.
You know, you really were a forerunner. I mean, for those who don't know, you're considered one of the top experts on mold. I mean, I went to a doctor in Wisconsin because my doc said she knows this about this, whatever. And when she saw in my records that you're treating me, she goes, I don't even know why you're here. She goes, I get all my information from Dr. Jill Carnahan. She goes, you have access to her. Yeah, I can't help you. So, it really is amazing. But when I think of, you know, how much now awareness of mold toxicity is hitting the scene, and you were in the school of suffering way before that to prepare you for this time. And just a little digression here, but it's worth it. As I understand it, one in four people have what they call a mold deficient gene, or they have an incapacity to process mold. And so it attacks their body, maybe their nervous system. That's a very high percentage of people with buildings getting older, this is creating a groundswell of an issue. So we really, God it's sent people huge, ahead, Susie. Like you, like Joseph, he sent you ahead, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the way buildings are built, and there's so many factors that are contributing to, but it's become an epidemic, like you said, and there's so many people who don't know. They might present with brain fog or fatigue or early Alzheimer's or autoimmune disease, and the real root can be mold.
Hmm. Just amazing. How about with your patients as we're thinking about breakthrough? Can you think of just a couple of stories where you were working together and then this one thing made the difference, or maybe the accumulative effect of your efforts, but suddenly you saw breakthrough happen?
You got it. And I love that you had mentioned this before, so I came prepared, because I've got so many stories and miracles. And I want to start real quickly about myself and something recently you just actually triggered in our first opening comments that I think is worth sharing, because you said something that's true. I, you know, travel and I do things and I'm on a podcast and stuff. So people think, oh my gosh, Dr. Jill, she must have it all together. She must feel great all the time. And I love being real and telling your listeners and you, I don't always feel great. And I still struggle with my health. And the battle's real for all of us. And we never like arrive where we're perfectly healthy and never have another problem. And my journey's been like that. And fortunately, like you said in the beginning, when we can see that God is good and that there's such purpose in these things, then we can always expect his goodness and expect him to do miracles. But recently, I had all my life had very high cortisol and, you know, high energy and done pretty good despite the illnesses. But probably the last 6 months or so, I've been a lot more tired, and maybe just because I'm doing all the projects and things. But my cortisol's been a lot lower. And all that to say, though, I've had episodes where I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I would literally like maybe get up and have breakfast and then have to go back to bed or have to lie down, like exhaustion, like I couldn't even lift my, you know, arm up off the pillow. Mm. And it's been troubling because I didn't know when it would strike or when it would hit. And it was especially, I'll tell you, as a healer and someone who loves what I do, there's a lot of shame around, like, if there's a problem that I have with my own body and I don't know the answer, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be helping people and I can't fix myself. So it's that feeling. And yet, you know, God uses it. And all that to say, I realized between the low cortisol, there's something called POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia. And I don't know if listeners know about this, but really common with mast cells issues and mold and all these things. And my body had kind of become more of a POTS person, and I didn't know it. And because I was just trying to push and do, I took my blood pressure one day and it was like 80 over 50. So I realized, and again, that was the breakthrough, as God was like, you know what? And the thing God has shown me through this is all the things I used to do for high cortisol, which was not a lot of sodium and more potassium, and I've never taken adrenal supplements. I changed that with this new diagnosis, and it's really, really helped. So God gave me insight into what was causing that. And it wasn't the typical stuff that I had dealt with in the past. And I'm feeling so much better. But it was also through a friend. And here I am, a doctor, you know, I know a lot of different diagnoses and things, but we need our friends so badly, because it was a friend of mine who actually said, Jill, I think you have POTS. And it's like, how could I have missed that? You know, but God's good and faithful. And I'm feeling so much better now that I've done the right things for that.
Isn't that amazing? When you wouldn't even think to look that way, because the opposite of that is what's been your issue before, is the high cortisol output. And you're so right. We need each other on this journey. That's just amazing. I live for the day when I can say, Jill, I think it's such and such. And you're like, I did not even. That will make me so happy.
Susie, you play a doctor on radio. Please help me.
Exactly. I'm there for you. I just want you to know. Yes. We got to pause here. When we come back, I want to hear a couple of your patient stories. We got lots of people who've texted in about things where they need healing, things that they want God to minister to, and questions for Dr. Jill. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan today on our breakthrough week, really believing for some major breakthroughs. And if at least you start to feel like what Jill just shared, where you were facing one way, hitting a wall, and all of a sudden you turned and you saw an opening and God gave you revelation and he gave you an answer. I pray that you get some answers today. We'll be back with Dr. Jill in a moment. That's what we pray for you. We're praying for miracles. We're praying for hope. We're praying for breakthrough. Do not give up, friend. God is the God of the breakthrough, and he does bring answers, and he makes a way where there is no way. I'm Susie Larson, and we are having a breakthrough week. We are just focusing on your breakthrough, really looking at it from different angles and aspects all week long. Yesterday's show was absolutely amazing. Today, got the amazing Dr. Jill Carnahan on with us to talk about physical breakthroughs, and I've asked you to text if there's a place where a way that you most need healing in your health and your life, tell us. And we're going to get to as many as we can, answer some questions and pray for you. But right now I wanted Dr. Jill to talk about maybe just a couple patient stories of breakthrough and what we can learn.
Sure, Susie. I love sharing the miracles God's doing. And so I'll just go through a couple of little cases. And one recently was a 39-year-old young woman with breast cancer, and my heart so went out to her because, of course, I've been on that journey. And the interesting thing, as she came in, she had my sister's name and the year she was born. And so I was like, wow, this is meant to be very special just to even meet her and realize there's a connection to my sister. She talked about her breast cancer and got through conventional treatment. And then what I found in the visit last week that was a massive breakthrough was, so often with especially breast cancer, there's an underlying nurture piece where women especially have this nurturing ability, but they're they're kind of neglecting themselves and their own health. And the breast cancer can be a wake up, like it was with me, of what really matters. And then to start really not neglecting their family, but making sure that their health, because for this young woman, she has two darling little children and a wonderful husband, and they will not benefit if she doesn't make it. And so I really was encouraging her, you know, take the time to exercise and eat right. And I know it feels selfish sometimes, but especially in breast cancer, it's really important for the women to make sure that they're taking care of their own health first. And then it's like the oxygen mask that drops out of the plane, put on your own mask first and then take care of your family. And again, we've been grown in a culture where that may seem selfish, but for her, she really got it and her family's better off for it. And it's really transformed her cancer journey. She's thriving and doing well. So that's one. And I've got a 44-year-old male who came in and he had been diagnosed with this is a long name and I'll tell you what it means, but it's chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. All that means is they don't really know what's causing this nerve damage and pain. So he came in with this like peripheral neuropathy, like pain in his legs and hands and weakness and he's young, he's 44, and no one knew what was causing that. Well, I knew that there's a whole bunch of infections, often by ticks, we call them tick-borne infections, that can damage nerves and nervous system. So I went diving into see if we could find the answer there. And it turns out he had Lyme disease and several co-infections that were contributing to his nerve damage. We treated him for those infections over actually about 18 months, and he's now off all medications. And he just sent me a photo with his wife on a fishing trip in Alaska. He's got the biggest smile on his face, Susie, and he's got a huge fish in his hands. And it was this little infection that was causing this diagnosis. The neurologist and everybody was puzzled. He's not perfect health like none of us, but he has his life back and is thriving.
Praise God. Praise God. That's amazing. Okay, I'll start reading some of these and we'll just take them one by one.
Sure.
Hello, Susie and Jill. This is Jennifer. I follow you both. Thank you for being such blessings to so many. I've been working on healing autoimmune in Lyme for the last 6 years, asking for prayers for continued strength and perseverance. I know God will give me a breakthrough. I just need to keep at it all. Boy, does she really speak to, you know, that is it, isn't it? I mean, that we have to keep hope alive. We've got to keep our hearts encouraged and stay with it, because it's usually not a once and done with these autoimmune issues.
You're so right, Susie. And that's why I shifted to just share kind of spontaneously my most recent thing, because I have had many illnesses that I've overcome. And if I tell the story like, oh, I have overcome it all and I'm doing great, that's a lie. I mean, I am doing great by God's grace, but I still every day have challenges. And I want to be so real, because I know all of us out there, and especially this listener, we may feel good for a while and have breakthroughs, but there's still day to day and we still have difficult days. And to normalize that is so important. And we can continue as we hope in Him and think like His thoughts are greater than our thoughts, we can still experience breakthroughs over and over and over again as we have new challenges.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to put two questions together. One listener says, could chronic sinus infection be mold? And the other says, how do you find out if mold toxicity is the culprit? Is there a test? If one thing could be healed today, the pain from my knees to my feet, especially on the right side. What do you think? Can chronic sinus infection be mold? And how do you find out if mold is the culprit?
Okay, so absolutely is the answer to the first question. This is actually one of the most common things I see that ENTs maybe miss. They're not really aware. Obviously, they know that you can have fungal sinusitis or mold in the sinuses. But if you've been in a moldy environment for a while, it is very common for you to get colonization of mold in the sinuses or of candida or fungus. And typically, ENTs are going to give antibiotics, which can treat the bacteria, but it won't treat the mold or fungal issues. So if you do have chronic antibiotic use because you've got chronic sinusitis, it makes the mold and those things worse. So typically what I start with is antifungal nasal sprays. These can be compounded by your doctor with fluconazole or itraconazole or nystatin, or there's quite a few things you can use. You can even use over-the-counter nasal sprays like grapefruit seed extract or silver. And if you get rid of that mold and the sinuses, you tend to feel a lot better. And I see that a lot as a breakthrough with patients who've had chronic sinusitis. So that's a sinus issue. The answer is absolutely yes. Mold symptoms. So mold is insidious. The biggest thing is the questions about your environment. So if you went on vacation and felt better, or you went away from your home or your work environment and felt better, if the environment is a piece of the puzzle of when you feel well and when you don't feel well, it's likely number one, an environmental issue. And number two, mold is a very common environmental issue. Common symptoms would be sinus congestion, malaise, fatigue, difficulty with focus, concentration, memory, word finding, feeling like you're losing your memory, moodiness, anxiety, depression can be common, gut issues. It can make more mast cells produce histamine. So heartburn, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, or new onset sensitivity to foods or chemicals. Those are all common symptoms.
And tell me if this is accurate. I seem to remember it this way, that for those who have the mold deficient gene, again, I don't know if that's the right way of saying that, but the 25% who will have a hard time processing, is it true that that can be a gene that's just not expressed for a while, but suddenly you come into a storm of stress and crisis or trauma or whatever, and it can suddenly trigger like a CERS reaction, a chronic inflammatory reaction? Isn't that how that comes about typically?
Yes. And what you're describing is something called epigenetics. And it means that genes can be turned on and turned off by our diet and lifestyle and environment. So we can have genes that don't really do much or aren't really inflammation causing. And then we get in the certain perfect storm and then it becomes expressive. And all of a sudden we have this runaway cascade of inflammation. And that's one thing. And people are prone to that, can experience that. And it becomes a vicious cycle because internally we're producing cytokines, which are producing cytokines. And it's like this vicious cycle that is nonstop. The other part of that, Susie, is like you mentioned, about 1 in 4 have trouble tagging and clearing these kinds of toxins from the body. So those toxins just go around like a merry-go-round and continue to cause damage. Now we can treat it with detoxification procedures and glutathione and binders, but unless you intervene, that damage can go kind of run wild.
Wow. Okay. Just got a few minutes, probably about 2 minutes to break. So you can start the answer. And if you want to pick it up on the other side, you can. This listener says, have PAH, high blood pressure of lungs, much on COPD, but never hear anything on mine, which is very odd, has been around for 20 years. Meds extremely expensive, autoimmune system affected also, tire easily, also must sleep at those times. I'm not sure I fully understand all that, but did you catch any of that?
Yeah, some of it, and I agree with you, Susie, I didn't catch all the details, but it sounds like COPD, that's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is an inflammation of the interstitial tissues of the lungs, and that alone can cause either blood pressure issues down the line or fatigue. That's tricky because it's an insult on the lung lining, and you have to figure out what that might be, whether it's smoking or environmental dust or toxins, and then start to heal the lungs.
Wow. Okay. And this one, I'll let you think about it as we get ready to go to break here, says gut health, hands down, is where they would want to be healed. I use Dr. Jill's website for info, have listened to her podcast. I have diverticulitis, portion of my colon removed 2 years ago. Does Dr. Jill feel gluten grains are important to avoid? Also, I'm so aware of the gut-brain connection. Any suggestions for me to research? And friends, as we're getting ready to go to break here, I'd love for you to talk about the gut-brain connection when we get back. Gluten's grains for everybody, just for some, and how to really all of us to steward good gut health and why that matters. Did you know that gut health can be connected to anxiety and depression? We'll tackle all of that as well. I see a number of other texts that have come in, so keep them coming if you'd like. We'll get through as many as we can. We're going to spend a little bit of time praying for a number of you as well. It is our breakthrough week, and today we're just talking specifically helping you to get a breakthrough physically. Maybe that you'll get an answer to a question or you'll start to take those first steps in the direction of healing. And as you've heard, there's not a one-size-fits-all answer for every person, or is there a one-size-fits-all for you in your season? There was a time in Jill's life where she was dealing with high cortisol, and then she went into dealing with POTS. Well, the remedies for both of those are opposite of each other. It's why it's so important to discern the season that you're in and get the right answers at the right time, and we're hoping to provide those for you today. More with Dr. Jill in just a moment.
Thank you.
That's just true. God makes all things new, and I don't want one believer, one follower of Christ to just bide their time till Jesus comes back. Yes, it's going to be great. Yes, he's gone away to prepare a place for us, and there will be a day of no more sorrow, no more tears. But right now is when we have faith. Right now is when you have the opportunity to trust him and bring pleasure to his heart because you're leaning hard on his everlasting arms because he's such a good father. And in the land of the living, where it seems we're living behind enemy lines, to get God-given breakthroughs is just a way to testify of who God is so the rest of the world can know. I've been listening to some healing stories, and it's just amazing. One person receives a miraculous healing, and then they testify, like 6 or 7 family members get saved because they see a miracle work in one person's life. Why? Because she dared to believe him for it. Now, I know the healing process looks different on all of us, but if we're going to err on one side or the other, let's err toward the side of faith to go, Lord, I'm just putting it all in. I'm going to trust you with everything. And then I'll just take the next steps that you tell me to. Dr. Jill Carnahan is on today. All week we're focusing on breakthrough. And today she's here to answer some questions. And Doc, before we get to the gut health question, there's another mold question I just want to make sure we tackle. I love it too, sure, because she says, Dr. Susie and Dr. Jill. I just wanted to pause and let that in for just a moment. Okay, I'll move on. Can mold cause seizures? She says, my son, 24 years old, had two series back in May. He's single, lives in a basement apartment, works nights, found out his vitamin D level was low at 13. What do you say?
Oh, wow. So first of all, 13 is really low. So that that just immune dysfunction and stuff can set you up for more susceptibility to all kinds of things. So the short answer is yes. The long answer is I would never assume it was mold. And, of course, he would need to get worked up by a neurologist, make sure there's not anything in the brain or any other thing causing that. But the truth is absolutely that toxins that mold produces are known to be immunotoxic, toxic to the immune system, to the lungs, to the kidneys, to the brain, to the nervous system. And I have seen all kinds of things, including someone present with ALS or Parkinson's or seizures based on mold exposure. So, yes, it's possible. But please have a good neurologist look into that for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's two more mold questions. Since we're on the topic, I just want to group these together. This one, is there any recommended mold remediation companies from Minnesota? Any economical way to remove mold from the home? Mold was already discovered. I have the side effects of exposure plus Lyme and Epstein-Barr virus. I know there is, well, you're part of a national board of environmental illness. Maybe there's a general place because we have people listening all over the country and even the world. So what do you say?
Yeah, this is such a great question because really the rate limiting thing for me as a doctor, if I suspect mold in someone's environment, is how do we find someone good who can help them get that house clean and remediated? So this is a really big deal. Susie, you mentioned ISEAI, International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness, is a nonprofit. I am a part of it. It's a complete nonprofit organization of both physicians and indoor air quality experts. So you can go to their website and look up indoor air quality experts in your area. And there's several of them that do virtual consulting to kind of help you out and help you. And believe it or not, as crazy as it sounds, they're so good that they really do quite a good job at least directing you what to do next. And then IAQA is an indoor air quality website that you can also find certified experts. You want to ask some questions because if they don't know about how mold can cause illness, they're probably not the right person. But there's, you know, there are good remediators and more in every, you know, state coming up because there's more problems.
So what was the first organization that you're part of that you listed?
ISEAI.org. So International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness, ISEAI.org.
Okay. And this, dear listener, he's funny. So he always has a little something funny in his text, but he did say, what do you do if you suspect mold? I have most, if not all, the symptoms. And then he says, plus a sagging water bulge in my bedroom and in my stomach. Sorry.
Oh,
that's
boy. Perfect. Oh, goodness. I love it.
Bless his heart. Yeah. But truly, if he has a sagging water bulge in his bedroom and he has symptoms.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yes. So that's and so with mold, you either have the smell of like musty mold. That's a guarantee you have mycotoxins or the VOCs from mold. So that if you have a musty smell in your home, you need to check it out. Number two would be visible signs of mold. But many people have it behind their walls, under their floors. You can't see it. And number three would be you have symptoms in that area or in that home and you don't feel well and you think, you know, something changed. So what to do about it? I do recommend people get, it used to be called ERMI, E-R-M-I. It's a dust sample, but now a better term for that is called qPCR. It's just, PCR is DNA testing in that dust for mold. And it's something you can do yourself. You sample the dust in your home and you can look at the species. The reason we no longer use ERMI because that ERMI score is not very valid. I wouldn't use that. But you can look at the types of mold that are there. And if you see something like Ectomium or Stachybotrys, which are two really nasty black toxic molds, it's a really big deal. And then you need to say, okay, where is this coming from? Is it in the home? And that you still need to have an inspection or remediation. But that dust sample is something you can do yourself. It's not super expensive, and it kind of gives you at least a snapshot of the history of the home. And that's usually where I have patients start to check for mold in their environment.
And for, you know, what it's worth, if you step into this world and you realize, okay, there's mold in my home or whatever, and you're facing, you know, some pretty big decisions, I just want to remind you that God will supply your needs. He will give you the next step. So don't look at it all at once, you know, because there's times where people have to, you know, move or change jobs or whatever. But if you can keep God into the center of the conversation, He will guide you every step of the way, right?
Yes, that's such a great, because this is, it's devastating for some people, and not everybody has to move, but there are people who have walked out of their home with none of their belongings in order to get well, and thank goodness that isn't the norm, but it can happen, and it's very devastating emotionally, physically, and financially.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's one more. I promise we're going to get to the gut health one, but this is interesting. I had a weird thing happen to me, she says, about one time a week where I have a clear egg, white consistency looking mass, the size of a quarter, come up through my nose or throat. Inside this weird looking thing is small, dark gray little lines. I personally think they're parasites, but I've shown the pictures to doctors and they have no idea. Any ideas?
So it sounds like there might be mucus or something there. And whenever there's mucus involved, that's an inflammatory response, like a histamine response. So the first thing is there's something causing, likely, whether it's mucus in stool or mucus when you hack up. They're all kind of gross, but the truth is any sort of mucus from your body fluids is a sign of inflammation. So that's the first thing I think of. Black lines are things, if you're blowing your nose or getting mucus out of your nose, that actually could be mold. And I would think of that before I would think of parasites, because you can get dark black or discolored mucus if that's really an issue. But it's hard to tell because that could be many other things.
All right. So here's the gut health. Gut health is the area that this one would love prayer for healing. Hands down, she says, I use Dr. Jill's website for info, have listened to her podcast. She has diverticulitis, a portion of her colon removed 2 years ago. Does Dr. Jill feel gluten grains are important to avoid? Also, she's so aware of the gut-brain connection. Any suggestions for research? What say you?
Yeah, so diverticulitis is this outpouching in the gut that can happen as we age. It's actually very common. The problem is when food gets stuck in there and causes inflammation or infection, and then people can get really painful guts or even serious infection, or it could even burst and cause that contents to go into your abdomen and cause infection and inflammation. So it is a serious issue. What I'd first recommend is, like you said, some of the things you can do with your diet. Gluten tends to be inflammatory for most people. Not everybody has celiac, so that is not true, but a lot of people do better off gluten. And the best way is not to do a bunch of expensive testing, but just to give it a try. And the three things that I typically recommend you start are gluten, dairy, and sugar. And I know those are hard, but often within 30 days, you'll see a pretty significant difference in your symptoms, whether it's the brain or the gut. And again, we'll talk about gut-brain connection in a second, but it does connect. People with gluten intolerance often feel more fatigue or more insomnia or more brain fog, and they may not have a lot of gut symptoms. So I do recommend eliminating gluten. You mentioned grains, and the grains, a lot of people do better off grains, but my theory is grains are the most contaminated food group of mycotoxins. And so I think one of the reasons where people may feel better off grains is just because they're eliminating one source of mycotoxins. But you could also try that and see if you feel better.
Wow. And say a word, if you would, about the gut-brain connection.
Sure. So we know now with the vagus nerve, which is a very long nerve that it kind of connects our brain and our gut. So that's one way the probiotics, the types of bugs in our gut can speak through the vagus nerve to the brain and either create a state of more anxiety or insomnia or depression. And healing the gut, whether it's changing the microbiome, if you have an abnormal overgrowth of bacteria or yeast, all of these things can actually change the mood and the sleep and those kinds of things. But the other piece there is microbiota, actually the constitution of the microbes, have an effect, a direct effect on the brain. And when you have leaky gut, which is a whole nother topic, you can have leakage of gut contents into the blood, into the immune system, and that can also cause depression, anxiety, or insomnia.
That's amazing. So that leads me to my next question. When you look at, you consider just your best guess, when you consider the population of those who struggle with anxiety and depression, what percentage would you guess have a true chemical imbalance and compared to those who maybe have the exact same symptoms but may be so because of secondary causes, food or, you know, medicine or whatever?
So, Susie, I'm going to say something that may be really controversial, but I'm going to say it because I like to say speak truth. I think we've been fed a line by the pharmaceutical industry that this is an imbalance of neurotransmitters in some ways. Now, granted, I know that if I'm not eating a healthy diet, my body may not produce as much serotonin. And there are genetic pathways that cause production of less, say, serotonin or dopamine or those. So that's real. But we don't have a Prozac deficiency, right? And we don't have a drug. And I think that somehow the other piece of that happens is it's hard when it is our diet or lifestyle that's contributing. And I'm never one to either make people a victim or make them helpless. But the truth is most of the time we can do something about it. And when it's a deficiency that maybe there's, you know, we think it's all genetic, which it never is 100%, that takes away our onus for making any change because we have nothing to do with it. And that is just not true. We always have something to do with it. So I don't want to take away those people who really have deficiencies, whether there's genetic predisposition, but we don't have Prozac deficiencies. So I really believe we've been fed some of this because the pharmaceutical industry stands to, you know, sell drugs if we think that it's all deficiency and we can do nothing about it. So I'm
so
advocate
huge.
About, yeah, yeah, it is.
So
go
it's
ahead.
Probably, you know, I was thinking, we've talked in times past about even if you have a genetic predisposition, doesn't mean those genes are going to express. So you might have a predisposition to alcoholism or to anxiety. And, you know, but there's something about that epigenetics where we, you know, stand in agreement, sort of. I'm not speaking doctor speak, but you know what I'm saying? Where we're walking it out and carrying it on. And so let's just say there's certain foods and maybe you're living in chronic stress and it totally is affecting your hormones. Don't you feel like part of it? And I say this again with great care, but in our society, we've put a demand. There's such a small portion of the population that wants to take the long way, which is the hard way, which is the healthy way, right? Where it's like people want a quick, immediate, give me a pill. Where if we were to step back and look at root causes, we'd actually have a more sustainable health in our bodies.
Yeah, and that's why I walked a fine line, and I said it would be a little controversial because I don't want to diminish the pain of someone suffering from a severe depression or anxiety or say that it's all your fault because that is just not true.
Right.
However, what I want to do is give you resources, if you're listening, to say there are things you can do and there are ways that can change, and diet does have something to do with the mood and so does the gut. So with what we have the capacity to change, let's do that. And then, you know, there still may be, I have no problem with medications. I prescribe them and I'm not against antidepressants or any of the medications, nor do I want to make you feel bad for taking them. But like I said, we don't have Prozac deficiencies. We have many other reasons that can be, you know, part of what we do for lifestyle or diet or gut health.
And that point is just really that we could do everything that we can do, you know, if we can the things that our body really thanks us for, you know. I heard from somebody, my sister's friend, she had all kinds of pain, and the other friend said, well, if you quit eating sugar, I bet that some of that pain would go away, and it completely did. She didn't realize she was having all this, you know, these joint pains and muscle aches. She just didn't know. And she gave up sugar and said, I feel so much younger, you know. So that's the whole thing is, it's just if we can take some inventory, because I think we've been conditioned for a quick fix. But if we can say, I'm going to play a part in my health, that just makes all the difference in the world. We need to pause here. When we come back, David writes in, I drink kombucha and it seems to help my gut. Do you like kombucha? And I will say my non-doctor answer, and I'll let Jill answer it on the other side. But my understanding is it's good for some, not good for those who deal with mold. But I'll let the expert actually answer it on the other side. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan, we welcome your questions. And again, we really are coming as servants, as people who want so much to hold your hand and walk with you to the next place of promise God has for you. And we play a part and God plays a part. And there are seasons in life where we need medicine. But if we could be humble enough to say, Lord, am I relying too much much on that and not willing enough to look at maybe some choices, adjustments I need to make. We all need to make adjustments, and I'm praying that God gives you grace. I believe He will for your next step towards health and healing. We'll be back in a minute.
I don't have to search hard to find you. I don't have to reach far to touch you. Standing in miracles, wherever I go.
Father, we pray for each and every person listening today. Everybody needs a miracle. Everybody needs healing of some kind. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal our souls, make us whole, heal our bodies, Lord God. I pray that every system in our bodies would support life and health. God, put us right where we're thinking wrong. Help us lose our taste for that which weakens us, and help us acquire a taste for what's healthy, what's right, what's good. Give us energy and motivation to exercise. Give us the discipline to guard our bedtime, Lord Jesus. Motivate us, Lord God, for the sake of your call on our lives, that we could show up and feel our best, and we could be shored up in a day of such illness. Lord, help us to be strong and healthy. Heal our friends today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a breakthrough week, and today we're talking about healing, specifically as it relates to your physical body and wondering where you need healing. And I've got a few more texts I'll read in just a moment. Dr. Jill Carnahan's my guest today, answering many of your questions. And Dr. Jill, David writes in, he says, I drink kombucha, and it seems to help my gut. Do you like kombucha? What do you say?
Oh, I love this question, because it is kind of considered a health food for a lot of people. And if you don't have issues with histamine, it's probably just fine. My concerns are a lot of these beautiful, like sauerkraut or fermented foods or bone broth, all these things we're told are healthy, they're actually really high histamine. So some people with mold issues and other people with just histamine intolerance will not do well on kombucha or anything fermented like the ones I mentioned. Me in particular, I do not do it. I would feel terrible on it. But again, it's because of histamine. The other thing about kombucha is, especially if you're brewing your own, you can brew some wild yeast strains that in some people can be actually pathogenic, so could cause issues. So sadly, I'm really not a big fan of kombucha for most people. But if you have none of those things I mentioned, it's probably okay.
Wow, appreciate that. That's very interesting. From your perspective, how big a role does forgiveness play in the healing process?
Oh, goodness, I love that we're going here, because I really believe so many of our stuff, when we're stuck at a point where we've tried everything, done everything physically with our diet, with the water we drink, the air that we breathe, and all the things that we have control over, and we're still stuck, often there's more issues on the heart. And I think forgiveness is one of the biggest ones, because if we hold on to that anger or unforgiveness, it only hurts us, and it really does have an impact. I mean, we don't need studies to prove this because it's in God's word, but there's studies to prove that it affects the physical body too.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a moment about self-contempt and self-hatred, too. I've heard certain people say that, like, forgiveness of yourself is not a biblical concept. I completely disagree. You haven't been through trauma if you can't have a conversation about self-hatred or self-forgiving of yourself. You can hold yourself in contempt, sometimes worse than you hold others in contempt. And I remember Dr. Troy once said that will do more damage to your cells than any sickness ever will. Just give us your thoughts, especially in dealing with patients where you discern that there's a whole lot of self-contempt going on.
Oh, Susie, I love this topic because it's a hard one. And like you said, especially growing up in a Christian environment, I think that I thought that self-love was evil, and it's not. I mean, God loves us and reflects how we should love ourselves, and it doesn't mean we put ourselves above anyone else or that we think we're anything greater than anybody else, but there is a basic self-nourishing, self-compassion, self-love that is core for our healthy bodies. And I've seen this as breakthroughs in my own life, because when we look at the data with autoimmunity especially, which is massively increasing in incidence every year, autoimmune by nature, if we look at the physical body, it's our body attacking ourselves. And metaphorically, there's often pieces of our emotions that are attacking ourselves, or self-loathing or self-hatred. And again, this is proven in the literature. So when we start to heal that self-loathing or self-hatred and start to have this loving compassion and to look on ourselves. I often even teach patients to pull a photo out of when they were 5 years old and that sweet, innocent person that they were. And it's pretty easy to love a little child. And it's just like God tells us to become like children. And that kind of love is what we want to have for ourselves, just loving compassion like God would have for us. We want to have that for ourselves. And when we start to reflect that back, it literally heals the cells of our body, because we cannot have health when there's hatred towards anyone and especially towards ourselves.
You can't have health when there's hatred towards anyone, but especially yourself. That is so powerful. And when you meet someone who's got a really healthy sense that they just live loved, you don't get a sense that they're consumed with themselves. They're just free of themselves. They can focus on other people. You want to be with them because there's a groundedness to them. That's so different than somebody who's a narcissist. And yet people caution against that. That those are two different things, different sources altogether. I mean, I think when you live loved, you know, you can't even impart what you don't possess. Yeah. And the more that you have the capacity to know this love, the more you have the capacity to release it to others, right?
So true and so well said. And it's almost like until we can actually show that to ourselves, even though we think we might be loving other people, there's a block in our ability to love others well. And it literally kind of starts on that understanding, because then only then can we, it's almost like even with humility, I think there's a part of that, that if you're so focused on humility, it can be very selfish and self-oriented, and it's not healthy that way either. There's a spectrum, right? But if it's almost like we don't have to worry about ourselves anymore. We don't have to think about ourselves. We can think about others when we just know that we're loved and know that we're worthy of love. It frees us to pour out our love on others. And so in my mind, it totally shifted from the culture that I somehow sometimes was, you know, taught that it was wrong, and I don't believe that at all.
Wow. Let's talk for just a moment. We just got a few minutes left, but about emotions. You know, on one hand, we can't lead with emotions, you know, overexpressed emotions like anger, from my understanding, allows you to go there again and again, like you're paving a neural pathway to get angry and express it quicker when you give it free rein. But on the other hand, suppressed emotions are bad for your health as well. So strike a healthy balance around emotions. What should we know about our emotions?
Oh, so good. Because again, we don't want to like completely be driven like the train by those. But I will say again, I'll just tell it personally, I lived above my neck up before 40. And after I went through a very painful divorce, I did a lot of work and God healed so many areas of my life. And part of that healing was touching back into my heart and starting to feel things that I had pushed down and thought were not okay. Like, especially for women in our society, anger or sadness weren't okay. So I didn't know how to express them. So I stuffed them down and they only hurt my own body. And when I started to allow myself to feel sadness or once in a while feel appropriate anger and, you know, not out of control and then let it flow through my body and be done, it was so much healthier. And I started to experience some of my biggest health breakthroughs when I started feeling and letting it. Because when someone's never felt them, it feels like a tsunami or a wave that's going to overtake you. But when you realize letting it pass through your cells and your body and just go through, just like all of us feel those emotions, it's survivable. It's no big deal. And it's so much healthier. Otherwise, it gets stuck in our systems and it definitely contributes to illness.
Yeah, you know, it's so important. I've heard that especially when you have a strong emotion, naming it, like disarms some of the power in the emotion behind it. And such a powerful thing. Well, we've just got a little bit of time left, and I haven't asked you this question in the last few shows, so I'm going to ask you now. What do you know about the Lord now that you didn't even know 5 years ago?
Oh, wow. I'm almost speechless, Susie, because his love and his grace and his ability to perform, just like we talked about the first verse that I read with his ways are so much higher, I get choked up to think about how good he is, how faithful, how patient, how full of grace. And it's so much bigger than I learned my God was. Like, he's beyond words. and it's just, and just like his grace to continue to heal us, to continue to be patient with us, to continue to guide the right people into our lives. And I could go on and on. His goodness is so good. It's unfathomable.
You know, one of the things we talked about yesterday is about anticipating the goodness of God. And I'm such a huge proponent of so abiding in the vine and then dreaming big dreams with God, because what it does is create more dependence on God, because you can't do it without him. I feel like you live there, Jill. Like you dare to dream big dreams with God, and then you realize that it's so beyond you that you really cling even more to the vine. And then you see his goodness, which makes you count on his goodness. And to me, it's an absolute, you're a trophy of his grace, and it inspires me to greater faith. and to trust that he is who he says he is. So thank you for the way that you do life, because you inspire so many of us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that so much. The title of my book is Unexpected Miracles, and it's really living that I learn every day. Because
That's your title.
God gave me that. Yes.
Wow.
Unexpected, and the miracles is, but it's really like when we go to that place where we cannot do it, we do. We get to experience unexpected miracles.
Wow. Well, thank you for joining us today. I can't wait till you release that book and we can talk about it some more. And friends, don't give up hope. I know we weren't able to get to every question, but keep on keeping on. Trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. He will lead you into all truth. He'll show you the next steps to take. He's a good God, and he wants you to break through. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.